Support for WPR comes from The Alliance, a not-for-profit cooperative committed to helping employers self-fund by providing data and insights to manage their health plans. Info is at the-alliance.org.
Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, the University of Wisconsin Varsity Band!
How many times have we heard that? How many times I can just see those kids high-stepping out across the football field. It's a wonderful sight and a wonderful sound. And the guy who leads it all and has been doing it for a long, long time is Mike LaCroix. Mike, great to have you back.
Well, thanks, Larry. It's always fun to come talk to you.
Oh, man. Mike has been director of the band, the UW Marching Band, since 1969. And the UW Marching Band Spring Concert is coming up April 19th, 20th, and 21st. So we wanted to have him come by, talk about the band, talk about the concert, and also answer your questions and comments. Are you an alum of the Marching Band? I bet we have some people listening who are. If you are, I hope you'll call in. What years, what instrument did you play? Let me see if you can stump Mike. You got a pretty good memory, though.
I do. I can almost always tell a person what they played. I always remember that. Sometimes I stumble a little bit on last names.
Well, I hope we hear from some alums. If you're not an alum, but maybe you certainly have some memories of seeing the band perform. Maybe you've been to one of the spring concerts. I've been to many of them, and I really enjoyed them. A lot of fun, and if you have a question or a comment or a remembrance, maybe you've got a favorite song the band plays, I'd love to hear that too. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, and don't be afraid to go to my Facebook page too. You can go to the Larry Mueller Show, you can post a question, comment, even a photo right there. Mike, how many years have been for the concert?
Well, we started in 1974. So it's been every year. It's about 38 years we've been doing it, and it's grown from a very simple, humble, sort of a naive beginning to a monster that we've created. But that's part of the fun of doing it, is seeing what we can come up with that might improve on what we did the year before.
Oh, it's one. And the band itself goes back, what was it, 125?
It's 126 this year. We were 125th last year.
How did it get started?
Well, it was the band was originally part of the ROTC program here. It got started as a regimental band. They needed some people.
Is that right?
Land Grant University.
Sure.
They needed something to play for the ROTC at that point. So the band got formed in a very modest way, and actually was around before the football team. So they sort of enlisted the band to play at football later.
And that, how does that compare to other marching bands in the country?
Well, in the Big Ten, most of the bands in the Big Ten that are land-grant universities, that's how they all got started. Others got started by, a few others got started by individuals who were really interested in providing some sort of a pep group for, again, usually for an athletic event. That's how most of them got started. But was the land-grant made those bands get started earlier. So almost all the land-grant schools have bands that are in excess of 100 years old.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And you studied at Butler and Indiana University. How did you get so passionate about bands, marching bands?
Well, I don't know. Bands is what I started with. My dad was a high school band director.
Okay.
I had no other choice. If I didn't show the passion, I heard about it. But no, really, one of the things he did for me was he encouraged me not to follow in his footsteps, just to be following his footsteps. And what he did is he made me investigate a whole lot of other areas, which has been really a good thing for me. Yeah. I appreciate that in later years. But I had the passion very early on, and then I went to Butler University, which had a very, very good band. At that point, it was probably the largest, and I'm a little bit biased, but it was probably the best band in the state because it was better even than the Purdue and the Indiana band in those days. And it had a great tradition, and I caught the bug hard for marching band there.
and that experience, I mean, what does that experience offer students? It seems to me it'd be just wonderful to play.
Well, the marching band offers them an awful lot of things. First of all, if they don't have a work ethic before they come, they have to develop one, or they don't exist. And then the friendships that are formed. I mean, I think that's the big thing that we try to mention is when a parent comes in with a student, I say, well, the good thing about your son or daughter is first day on university, they're going to have 200 or 300 really good friends almost immediately because everybody recognizes that common thread. And you'd be amazed at the number of marriages that we have spawned in the marching band. Literally, it's dozens and dozens of people have met. And
you play together for three, right. 4 years.
And you're there continually. You're throwing that together. There's a social aspect to it. And then I think all these kids have an enormous school spirit. I mean, they really want to do something good for the university, and they feel that obligation. So it's fun to see them grow.
Absolutely. Well, Marie in Watertown has a comment, so let's go there. Hi, Marie. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Hello, Mike.
Oh, it must be Lewis's mother.
Oh, my goodness. You're right on target. I thought I was going to have to say, this is Lewis Miller's mother, and then you'd stumble around and thank you for remembering Lewis. It's been quite a while since he's been with you in band.
It has been.
Yes. I have a couple of memories of my own that I would like to share with you. Lewis graduated from high school in 1989 and was encouraged to try out for band, which he did. And then there's Reg Week. I think you call it something different nowadays. And then Lewis called home one night, and Lewis said, Mom, this is like boot camp. And I didn't want to laugh, but I encouraged him. You know, Lewis, it's not long. You'll make it, and everything will work out. And he did make it, and he marched for, I believe, he graduated 6 years later, and he was a very proud member of the band for 6 years.
But, I love those kind.
Yes, indeed. But, Mike, what you'll really like is this one. He was ready to graduate, of course, and marching in band. He made the pronouncement one day that Mike isn't as tough on freshmen now as he was when I joined.
It's all perspective.
No, I said, Lewis, he's the same as he was. No, Mother, he's not. And I think it's because you're used to the band and the regiment and the discipline now. But anyway, I would like to thank you very much because Lewis was a proud member, and I'm still very proud of band. In fact, I claim that's the only reason I go to Badger games.
Well, it's nice to hear from you, Marie.
Thank you very much for calling, Marie. Appreciate your call very much. And boy, you remembered.
Well, you know, you remember certain people, and Marie keeps me pretty well posted on what Lewis has done over the years, and that's great because I love to know what former band members are doing then and now, and what they keep the successes that they have. It's great.
Absolutely, thanks, Marie. Thank you very much for calling. You can join in too at 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Mark in Waupun, we'll go to you. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. I'm actually almost to Waupun on Highway 26. I mistakenly said 75 to the questioner, but the actual year, I believe, was 1995 when the band went down to Florida to play it against the Duke Blue Devils, and I accidentally got some tickets to see the game. It was just a fluke that my son and I were there visiting my mother when she was still alive, and we saw the game, and we were sitting with the blues section, and they brought their band, and at halftime the band came out and they were good and we enjoyed it. But then the Badger band started coming out from one end, one of the end zones. and everybody in the that I was sitting with was a very partisan crowd, but very friendly. I was just astounded by the size and the razzle and the dazzle and the blaze of that band when it crossed the and it occupied the entire field. I don't know if you remember that game and the phenomenal team, of course, but the band, the impact it had on people from Florida and from other schools.
Yeah, I do remember. That was the year after we went to the Rose Bowl, I believe. And the band and the team still had a lot of carryover, and we still had the excitement for being there. I remember it very well.
Yeah, I was there too, and I remember it. And you do look great. And actually, this past year, once again, lots of great publicity about the band and from Rose Bowl times.
We you know, to go back-to-back, people said, oh, is it old hat going back to the Rose Bowl? Come on.
No,
it's the Rose Bowl. There's nothing like it, particularly for bands. It's just a great experience.
Absolutely. Lauren in Wausau, your turn. Hi, Lauren.
Good afternoon. Good morning, Dr. LaCrone.
Good morning.
We went to a game in Northwestern, I believe it was 1972, and you had just started really pushing the band and promoting it. After the game, as we left the stadium, you kept the band at the exit where all the fans had to come through, and we were partied all the way out of the stadium, and you kept the band in the parking lot for another half hour just playing songs. I think that was sort of the start of the fifth quarter.
Right, that was before we really had an official fifth quarter. We used to do a lot of parking lot concerts in those days. I remember that one too.
Oh, that's
exactly
wonderful. Thanks, Lauren. Appreciate the call. You can join in too as we talk with Professor Mike LaCrone, director of the UW Madison Marching Band, been director since 1969. I'm Larry Mueller. Cynthia Schuster, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Spending some time today talking about the UW Marching Band, the spring concert is April 19th, 20th, and 21st at the Kohl Center on the UW-Madison campus. Wonderful show, and I hope you have a chance to see it and participate in it. We'll give you the details as we move along here today as we visit with Dr. Mike LaCrone, director of the UW-Madison Marching Band. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. Maybe you have some experiences to share. Maybe you were a member of the marching band. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. Someone was wondering about the tryouts. How do you become a member of the UW Marching Band?
We try to contact all the freshmen who are coming in who have had band experience, who've had a high school band experience, and get them to try us and see if it works. And the actual audition procedure comes in two parts. The first is the playing. Obviously, we want people in the group that play well. And I listen to all the wind players, and I have an assistant who's a percussionist who listens to all the percussion. And it's not a graded thing. It's just to make sure that, as I say, you meet what I call the minimum standard. I want to make sure everybody who plays at or above that minimum standard. And frankly, if they've had a good high school band experience, the audition is more as a familiarity thing than anything else. Most people play well enough that I can say that they can play a third trumpet part if they're not, maybe don't have the range. So, but there is an audition procedure. The part that gives a lot of people trouble is the physical part, because it's a combination of conditioning and making sure you have the, for lack of a better word, I'll call it the grace, the coordination to do what we do. And that we don't hurry that along. We take about a week to try people out because we're using a lot of muscles they don't use before. But it's a process where I grade people every day. And I always look for one thing more than anything else, and that's the desire. If you have that person who has that desire, you can really see it in their eyes. I really want to be part of this organization. That goes a long way with me in terms of how hard they're working to accomplish that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Barbara in Madison is up next with a comment. Barb, hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, I was a music major. I graduated in 1951, but I was not in the band. But I lived at Barnard Hall on University Avenue, and every time there was a football game, they closed off University Avenue, and the band would march down to Camp Randall, and the students would all fall in behind, and they would play tunes that we would sing along with on the way, and it was a great experience to be behind that band. And Ray Dvorak was the director, and there were no girls in the band at that time.
That's right. Gray was a great guy, but that was part of the tradition. That was part of that outgrowth of the ROTC, that it was all male, and it wasn't until 1974 that we started adding women into the band. And,
yes.
And, of course, now we have the concert that we do at Union South, which sort of takes the place of the march to the stadium. Traffic. Uh-huh. I don't think the campus police would allow us to do a lot of shutdown these days.
No, but it was great fun.
Thanks, Barb.
Uh-huh. Goodbye.
I appreciate the call. Did Vicki in Madison joined us, so let's go there. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Dr. LaCrone. I've seen the spring concert a couple times, and it's absolutely phenomenally entertaining. It is just amazing. But my question is, when you started at the UW, did you ever imagine or envision that the UW band would grow to become what it is, you know, all these years later?
Well, you know, you see that there's the potential, and that's the reason, that's what really attracted me to come to university here and start with the band, is I saw a huge potential. To do some of the things we're doing now, no, I never envisioned it. And there were moments, you know, after I'd been here 20 years and we hadn't even been to a really major bowl game, I thought, well, I can be content because the band has grown. But I didn't envision where we are now. And that's been part of what has been part of my longevity, is that nobody's put any boundaries and say, you can't go there. If you can find a way to do it, like, you can keep growing. And that's been the fun of the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of potential was it that you saw? I mean, what did you see? Was it the students or was it the university as a whole?
Well, it was a Big Ten university, and it had moments of glory where it had great football. And I knew that there was a lot of student participation that had been untapped. When I came, for example, there wasn't a band assigned to play for basketball and hockey. That's something I was charged with organizing. And now we have in those days it was just simply basketball. Now we do men's hockey, women's hockey, men's basketball, women's volleyball. We do so many other things, and that was part of the charge. And I saw that there was a great student interest, but nobody had really channeled it up at that point. And it was a huge, huge school. That was intimidating to be coming from Little Butler. But I did see that potential of students. And I tell you, there was also a great Badger spirit, even though in those days I came, the football team wasn't doing very well. But there was still a great Badger spirit about backing the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I have to say you're quite a band director and leader, and the person who comes after to fill your shoes, boy, they're going to have a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, well, hopefully that'll be a long time to come.
Well, Ray Dvorak was a legend too, at that time, and so I felt I had huge shoes to fill just following him too.
Dan and Toma, your turn. Hi, Dan.
Good morning, Mike Dan Grasser. Came out of Lake Mills and marched in the late 70s. My brother also marched, and I'd like you to maybe just talk a little bit about the number of engineers that are in the marching band. Both my brother and I are engineers, and I now am the chief engineer of the Department of Transportation, and look back fondly on those years, and just like to have you talk a little bit and let the people out there know that you don't need to be a music major to be in the marching band.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear from you, Dan. Most people assume that the band is a lot music majors, and actually it's a very small percentage. It's usually around 7 to 10% is music majors. The vast majority, 40% of the band, and this happens yearly, are engineers.
40%?
About 40%, and that's true today. It was true when I came. It's part of a, for lack of a better word, I'll call it a tradition that they did. I spoke to the dean once of the College of Engineering, and he didn't have any answer for it other than most of those students were athletically inclined, they thought, and they wanted, his theory was that they wanted to do something constructive in their off time. Engineering students had that mindset. They just didn't want to throw a football around in the backyard. They wanted to get engaged in something that had some procedural advantage to them. And so about 40% are the great advantage, Larry, is that engineering program is 5 years long. I get them for 5 years. And so that's always a great part of it. But it was true in Dan's time. It was true before I got here, and it's still true today.
Yeah.
Huge engineering.
Well, I appreciate it, Mike. I appreciate that you communicate that and let the listeners know that, because our goal is to get up about 50-60% of the band to be engineers. So.
Well, like I said, I got you for 5 years, so that's good.
Yeah. Hey, good luck. Good luck at the concert. People need to go and see that band. It's the best band in the land by far. And Mike on Wisconsin and Eat a Rock. Thanks very much.
Okay, Dan. Thank you. Good to hear from you.
And let's talk about that spring concert. It is always. It is a real event. I love it. Talk about, for those who've never been, it's...
Well, people for years have tried to get me to call it something besides the varsity band concert, because that sort of has a staid, rather, you sit on stage and you play through a few pieces. But first of all, it's a lot of crowd participation. But the thing I'm most pleased with is the production values that we've been able to instill into it. I mean, when people see the lighting design that we have, I mean, it matches anything that you see in any arena show, anything. And I can say that humbly because I don't have a lot to do with it other than to say, yes, I like that, or let's try this. We have pyrotechnics that are terrific. We have back projection TVs, things, and it's really something that I'm very proud of what the whole package is. My job is to make a musical evening that everybody will have fun doing. And we this year we're doing everything from Porgy and Bess to the 70s and Elvis. So if you like any kind of music, we're going to find something that you're going to like.
And of course, you're going to have a grand entrance again.
I will, but I won't tell you. I don't care how. No, the people who plan that take great pride in the secrecy. And frankly, the band doesn't even know until I show up on Thursday night for the first show.
Oh, well, that is always exciting. And you're usually at some point during the concert, you're flying through the air.
I will fly. I will divulge it. I cannot not fly.
Oh, it is a lot of fun. Stephen, Montreal. Let's go to you now. Hi, Steve.
That's beautiful, Montreal, to you people down in the tropics. Listen, I am not going to tolerate all this talk about marching bands without proper mention of the Purdue University marching band under Al Wright.
I knew Al very well. Great guy.
When Al was there, they needed no pyrotechnics. They needed no backlit screens. Let me tell you, they take those plowboys and those engineers, and they could strut their stuff like nobody else.
So you knew him?
I knew Al very well, yeah. Al and his wife, Gladys, were both really strong musicians in the state of Indiana when I lived there, and I got to know them both very well, and they both had great program. She was at a high school called Otterbein in Indiana, and she had a great program there, and Al was a fixture at university. He followed, actually, I knew his predecessor. That's how old I am. A man named Spots Emmerich, who was director of the Purdue band before Al took over. And of course, I know as it's passed down through the years, but he's right. I think one of the great, I mean, you can't match that engineering numbers, because that's what that
100%.
School does. That's the remarkable thing. They have no school of music, and they do a great job.
Yeah, they do a wonderful. And actually, as you think about the Big Ten schools, Ohio State, there's pretty good bands out there.
I tell you, I'm just so pleased to be a part of that 10 or 11 or 12. I can't keep track of how many it is. But it does have the greatest band traditions in the country. They're the oldest. Yeah. They have the most traditions. And that's been part of the fun of what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again, Steve. Appreciate it. I want to get Bill in Wausau online here. Bill, hi to you.
How are you doing there? Back in the 90s, I lived in the Ann Arbor area, and I remember our local high school, Dexter, Michigan. I remember the marching band playing at the high school football game.
That's right.
How that happened to come about.
Well, the director, well, what, first of all, we try, when we go out of town for a weekend trip, we always try to find a Friday night football game to cut down two things, the travel time so that we have a place to stay, and then it's cheap lodging because we have the families lodge the band. It just so happened that the director of the Dexter Band had been a member of my band when I was at Butler University, so I had a really good contact there. And so I called him and I said, we're going to be going to Ann Arbor play on Saturday. Would you have an opportunity for us to play Friday night in Dexter? And he, without hesitation, said, we'll make it work. And so the kids were housed with families, and they fed them I remember it was a spaghetti dinner, and it saves our expenses, It's actually fun for the kids, and I think it's fun for the community because we do a special show for them, and we not only do a pregame and halftime show, but we usually do a little concert for them after the game, and it turns out to be a win-win thing for everybody.
Oh, and you know, it's expensive moving a band around.
Oh, yeah, it really is. People just sort of take it for granted. I talk about instant band all the time. Have a band show up. Well, you've got 7 busloads to worry about and equipment and all those sort of things that people just don't think about. They just see you there and see you perform.
And this event, the concert, that goes toward, in part at least, supporting the band for the year.
Well, there was a time when that was our major source of funding. The band is really funded very little by state funds. It's a very minimal. And the athletic department has some funding to us, but for years we existed purely on our own generated income, and the concert was a huge thing for that. Since then, we've been blessed with an endowment that some friends of the band have established, which help that situation along so far as budgeting is concerned. Well, you know how that is. Public radio, you depend on people to help you. And that has been a real godsend for us. But it does. I mean, it generates money. For example, on the last Rose Bowl trip, we wanted to do some extra food meals for the kids, some special meals. And we drew on the money that we had generated from the concert to be able to do that beyond our regular budgeting.
Makes good sense. Well, and the concert, again, it's the 19th through the 21st, so it's three concerts, right?
Three nights, yeah.
Three nights. And Tom Wopat is back, and I'm not sure how many times. I've seen him a couple
of times. This is about the fourth time. And Tom was in almost our very first concert in the Fieldhouse. He was just in at the heights of his fame, really, in Dukes of Hazzard when we started doing it. So everybody knew who he was. Everybody still knows, I think, who he is from Dukes of Hazzard. But Tom has had an amazing career on Broadway. He's appearing in a Broadway show right now and ends Friday so that he'll be able to come to our show next week. But Tom owes me some favors. When he was a student at the university, he came to me a few times and said, Mike, he said, I don't have time for band, but I'd sure like to play trombone for some basketball and hockey games. Could you let me set in? And I said, sure. So he owes me. Anytime I need a soloist, I can call on him.
And he is very good.
Oh, I mean, there's a guy that's very much in demand on Broadway. People maybe associate him as just a local Lodi kid who was in a TV show, but he's much more than that. I don't think he ever wants for work in the Broadway theater.
No, I don't think so either. Well, you've had many highlights, I'm sure, from the concerts. What are some of the big highlights in your memory?
Well, what we like to do theatrical presentations of various shows. This year we're doing Porgy and Bess. I've got two brilliant singers that are going to be singing with us with the band, Greg Brumfield and Ariane Douglas, and they're both just they just had the jaws of the band dropping. So we try to do that, and I think a couple of my favorites were West Side Story, because that's a favorite of everybody. And I think what we did was we tried to present the entire score and feeling of West Side Story in about a 15-minute segment, and it came off, and
it was really wonderful.
Yeah, you remember those things that really click really well. And then we've had some great guests in the past who really set the band on. And last year, Ed Shaughnessy from The Tonight Show, a legend when it comes to jazz drumming, was a highlight of what we did. And I mean, when you, it's kind of like Larry, when you talking, what's your favorite kid? You have to say, well, I like this one because of this and this one because of that.
You know, and I'm suddenly blanking on the name, which is really embarrassing, but the harmonica
Oh, West Side Andy.
West Side Andy. How could I forget?
He
when he first appeared, I mean, people, well, everybody's jaw dropped, I think. Yeah. He's a wonderful player.
Yeah, he is. I mean, and really self-taught. I mean, Andy admittedly doesn't read music, so it was fun putting that together with the band and let the band see how a professional who doesn't really read music works with people who don't maybe understand the professional language that a professional musician would use. So that's, again, that's the fun of doing this show.
Oh, I really enjoyed that. Well, what are your goals for the UW band as we go forward here?
To get better. I think when people ask you that, they expect you to have these grand goals, but we have, each year I sit down before the start of the season, I say, these are what I look at as points of emphasis. I want to improve what we do in this area. And the band knows I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. So when we come in the fall, as I gradually say, this is going to be our point of emphasis this year. It starts with the marching band. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's a musical thing. And I keep wanting to challenge them, although, you know, I've done some pretty extravagant things with the band. I mean, we've played the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto on the concert. Now, that was a stretch for my kids, but it was a moment, again, you talk about was a highlight. I remember that highlight of seeing these Badger fans stand up and cheer the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. That's something that musicians really try to accomplish.
And you have so many individual kids who are individually so good. They're not only as musicians, but as singers.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I remember some of the students singing were unbelievable.
Yeah, the talent within the band. Sometimes I don't even know it exists. People come to me and say, "Did you know so and so can do this?" Kids who are really terrific piano players that I haven't found a way to use. Although a few years ago, one of my, who's an assistant drum major at the time, played the Rhapsody in Blue with us and did a marvelous job. So that's the, as I said, I get a lot of fun and enjoyment in this job. And those are just, you've touched on a lot of the things today.
Well, I tell you what, let's go back through the nuts and bolts of this now to get tickets. How do we get tickets for this in advance?
Well, we have a phone number, 608-265-4120. That's one way to do it. But I think most people who deal with online, the easiest way is to go to badgerband.com. And if you go to badgerband.com, it'll come up on your screen what to do, and you can follow through. And that's probably the easiest way for you to get tickets.
Well, I tell you what, I know it's going to be a lot of fun. And let's see if we got any a little music to get us out of the program here. How do you work with those tuba players, by the way?
You don't work with tuba players. You try to exist with tuba players.
Oh man, Mike LeCrone, Mike, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
It's always fun to talk to you, Larry. It really is.
Mike LeCrone is the director of the UW Marching Band, and let me remind you again, the concert this year, Thursday, April 19th, Thursday, April 19th, Friday the 20th, and Saturday night the 21st. Three shows. In order to get tickets, you can call the number 265-4120. Or probably the simplest, just go online to badgerband.com and you can get your tickets there. And you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful experience. I can tell you that for sure. Thanks again to Mike LeCrone.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to, what are we going to do? Oh, I know. We're going to talk about something that is near and dear to Mike LeCrone's heart, and that's fitness. If you've ever watched the UW Varsity Band perform or even practice, I've seen the practice many times, it is a workout. Coming up next, we're going to talk about fitness and obesity, and sometimes when we most need to get into an exercise routine, it can be the hardest to start or to stick with it. Lots of great information coming up, so stay tuned here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.